Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Blessed be his wonderful name.
Worthy is the Lamb. Amen. We're so glad to be back together once again. And most of all, we're so thankful that his presence is here and that he's so faithful. You know, you realize that he never misses an opportunity to meet with you. What a tremendous thought. He's always here. If we come in his name, two or more are gathered in his name, he said, there will I be in your midst. He's so faithful. His word is so true. So we are such a blessed people. Well, tonight we're looking forward to part two of what the Lord has for us this weekend. And, amen. And thankful for the Lord speaking to our young people in particular, but I trust that there's something there for all of us, right? For we're all still young people. I mean, if you compare us to eternity, this is just a little blink, right? Amen. Amen. So we are thankful for all of you that are here, those that are visiting, those that are home folk. Thank you for coming and adding your lick of fire to the ring. We're in expectation. We don't believe that we got everything that there is to have last night. Amen. Right? So we brought our cup and our saucer, and we say, fill it up, Lord. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And you get what you expect. So how many are expecting tonight? Yeah. Amen. And as we've said many times before, he exceeds our expectations. So don't expect low. Expect high. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So we're going to invite our brother to come out, and Brother Andrew Dodd to come out and minister the word once again. How many enjoyed that last night? Yeah. Yeah. So we're just looking forward to what the Lord has for us tonight as well. Amen. So without further ado, we'll invite our brother to come. I just want to be where you are. I just want to be where you are. Dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I just want to be where you are. In your dwelling place. I just wanna be with you. I wanna be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, and surrounded by your glory. For in your presence, that's where I always want to be. I just want to be. Yes, I just want to be with you. Oh my God. Oh my God. You are my strength and my song. And when I'm in your presence, though I'm weak, I just want to be where you are, in your dwelling place forever. Lord, take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. I just want to be, I just want to be where you are. Dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I want to be where you are. I want to be where you are.
Hallelujah. The Bible says, we read it last night and they sung a new song. Amen. Is he worthy? Amen. Thank you for that, young people. God bless you. Amen. 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 Let's just take our Bibles, if you would. Thank you. God bless you. Turn to the book of Isaiah with me tonight. Isaiah chapter 40. I want to speak tonight for a title called The Forgotten Armor. As for a subtitle, I'd call it The Power of Prayer. I just want to say before I start, it's an honor to be here. Thankful for the privilege to be able to minister to the purchase of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You're an honor. You are honored. The Lord died for you.
Amen.
He loves you.
Hallelujah.
I love you.
Amen. We love you, brother.
I want to say, Brother Douglas has not told me of any situations in the church. I'm assuming you're all perfect, actually, because he has told me nothing. But I say that to let you know what the Lord has laid on my heart tonight. I know nothing. So if something comes out, it's not me, and he didn't tell me. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26. It says, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, and bringeth out their host by number. Sorry, it's really loud up here. The monitors are a little high. It says, and he calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary? There is no searching of his understanding. That does not mean he doesn't give us understanding. That doesn't mean he doesn't show us things. That means he's beyond us totally figuring it out. He's infinite. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. Let's bow our heads together one more time as we approach his throne of grace. Why don't you just privately put your need before the Lord? You know the situation you're dealing with. I don't. Just put it before God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're here in your house, Lord, and Father, you are here. You've made yourself known, Lord, not because of feelings and tears, but Lord Jesus, there's a spirit within us, Father, that resonates, knowing, Lord Jesus, when you draw nigh. And Father, knowing that your word, Lord Jesus, is always yea and amen, and you said, Lord, wherever two or three are gathered in your name, you would be there in the midst of them. Lord, we don't hang our hats on little emotions and feelings, but rather on the Word of God. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you said when we would draw nigh unto you, you would draw nigh unto us. Father, we lay aside all the cares of life now, the weights of the world, the things that have so easily beset us time and again. But now, Father, we just want to put them off to the side and ask, Lord, you'd help us to run this race. Lord Jesus, may you help us to focus tonight and do what is necessary. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You can have your seats if you like, but if you keep your Bibles and turn with me over to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. As I said, I'm speaking tonight on the forgotten armor. I've heard many times the armor of the Lord preached on. I've preached on it many times. And oftentimes we stop after we get to six pieces of armor. Six is the number of men, though. God works in sevens. He gets down to verse 18 after saying all the different parts and how you need to have your feet shod and have the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Lord and all these different things. But it says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watch thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hallelujah. I want to start tonight with a quote Brother Branham would talk about in the message, The Indictment. And he would begin to speak really about how somebody can preach false doctrine and how someone could even propagate false doctrine, as he would even make a challenge and say, if anyone could ever come and show me someone who was baptized in the titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I challenge you to come and show me that in the Scripture. And of course, no one ever could, and no one ever will be able to, because it's not there. But we find that it applies to more than that, and I'm not going to read that portion because I want you to understand when Brother Branham's talking about things like that, he's bringing out examples and talking about a principle of how someone could preach and someone could propagate false doctrine and bring it out as though it's the truth, as though this is the end all and this is the be all, and if you don't believe this, you're out, and this is how it has to be. And after all of this, he said, how do they do it? He said, they didn't know. Today, men walk ignorantly. They don't know that's the truth. They think it's some kind of ism. They'll think that about the truth. Well, I don't see it that way, so it's just an ism. Or it's just something that I can't quite grasp, therefore it's not what I believe, so it can't be right. He says the problem is they don't dig deep enough to get into the spirit of revelation. They don't pray enough. They don't call upon God enough. How can someone not see the truth? How can someone not get the revelation of it? They don't get themselves out of the way. They don't pray enough. They don't call on God enough. They just take it lightly. You say, oh, well, I believe there's a God. Sure. The devil believes the same thing. The devil believes it more than some people claim to believe it. There's a lot of people in and around the message that believe that the message is true. They'll even say, I believe that God sent a prophet. I believe he was the prophet of God. I believe he was Malachi 4. I believe that he was Revelations 10:7. I believe all of these things. But the question is, do you believe the message? Not just believing it's true, not just believing God sent a message, but rather, do you believe what's actually there in the message? Do you believe what the messenger actually said? Are you actually living in it? Because if you believe something, you'll take it and you'll live by it. Amen. He says, many people believe, the devil even believes it. I believe the devil believes this message, and he trembles at it because he knows it's true. He knows how God works. But people just believe it and they just go on. But the devil trembles knowing his judgment is coming, and people believe it and don't pay no attention to the judgment that is coming. He says, they're guilty of crucifying him. Sure, he says, I indict this generation, finding them guilty by the same word that found them guilty at the beginning. That's right. Jesus said, who can condemn me? See, he was the Word made flesh. Who could condemn him? But Brother Branham goes on and says, and today the same Word is made flesh. Hallelujah. To be in Christ Jesus. How do we do it? He says, well, how do people pass over it? How come they don't get it? They don't get into the spirit of revelation. They don't pray enough. What do we get it when he says in Ephesians chapter 6, and we read, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. In what? In the Spirit. Not just a nice little prayer, not just something that feels good once in a while, but praying enough till you get in the spirit of revelation, till you begin to enter into something beyond just the flesh. Even beyond the spirit, until you're able to have communication or communion with God. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, we find an account of how Jesus was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, a time when Jesus really began to pray in agony. And it's not the only account. We find an account over in Matthew as well. And it types it a little bit differently, but this is the one that I've chosen for tonight. Luke 22 verse 39 says, "And he came out and went as he wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also following him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that you enter not into temptation." What a power that's already in prayer there. He says, pray that you don't enter into temptation. There's power in prayer to keep you from temptation, to keep you from falling into those things. But he said, and he, when he was withdrawn about a stone's cast and kneeling down and prayed, and saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Hallelujah. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles." Here's the example of our Lord Jesus Christ that would pray in such an agony that an angel would come and strengthen him to do what? To pray. Hallelujah. To pray, as it says, "And being in agony..." After the angel strengthened him and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. He says, "And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from the prayer, he came to his disciples and he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." Now, Brother Branham would say in desperation, he'd say, "Brother, sister, if Jesus had to pray earnestly, if Jesus had to pray earnestly, how much more have we got to pray earnestly? If Christ, the God of heaven, made flesh, had to pray earnestly, if he who knew all things had to get down on his knees and pray until great sweat drops of blood would come from his forehead and it would begin to run down and he would pray in agony, "God, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, Lord, whatever you desire, Lord Jesus." He says, how much more us, we sinners saved by grace, that we ought to pray earnestly. If a decision, the decision throw the Son of God into despair, what ought it to do to you and I? Desperately, we must cry. We all have to come to a place of decision. God's word calls for a clear-cut decision. Amen. Not just a halfway and a take it lightly and a, I think I'm good enough now. I felt something nice. I got a warm fuzzy up my spine. I feel liberated. No. Did you know that you touched the throne of God? As Peter would say, seek out your calling and your election. Seek it out. Diligently seek it. With fear and with trembling. I did a lot of research into what it was like and into the different branches of the military around the world and different men that operated in what they call a tier one capacity. Men like DEVGRU and Delta Force or the KEG or whatever you know it as, or different branches, or the SAS or the SBS over in England, or JTF2 in Canada, different things that different ones have that they consider that's the peak. That's the best of the military. It's the best of the best. And all of these men, I begin to find a stream through all of their stories as they would talk about their training and the different things that they went through and the armor they would have and the weaponry they would have and the radios and the ability with the Air Force and how they could call down the thunder and just let it rain upon their enemies, and how they had a great feeling of power and different things. But they all said the greatest weapon that they have is their mind. Of all of the things, of all of the training, of all of the power that they could have at their fingertips, if their mind was not in it, all the rest of it was useless. See, if your mind isn't sharp, they would say, then a much weaker enemy could overcome you. They would even call it the fog of war when you've been in it too long and you just start to lose the ability to make the right decision. And you lose the ability to really do the right thing. And really the strongest thing that you have, the best weapon you have, is your mind. And in a believer, Satan desires to corrupt our minds. To a believer too, we can't even stay long enough in prayer to really break through. He's invented things like TikTok. Things that are designed specifically to take your attention span and shorten it right down. So you can't even focus long enough in prayer to really break in. It's got to be something else and something different and something new and again something else. And the preacher's preaching too long and he's not flashy enough. He's not jumping around enough. There's not enough going on. We need a bigger screen. We need more flashy screens. We need a fancier. We need all these things. Why? Because Satan's design is that way, to take you away from the ability to wait upon the Lord. Hallelujah. But see, it would help so much. And let me just speak, if I could. I talked last night to the young people, and then this evening maybe we'll spend a little time talking to the parents as well. Would that be okay? But we find that it would help so much even for our children, if we would wait upon the Lord for some situations to see what God wants us to do. When our children have an attitude and we don't know how to handle it, it happens to all of us, let's be honest. It happens, but when they're rebellious and they won't listen to us, what do we do about it? Did you wait upon the Lord? Did you wait on God and say, Lord, what would you like me to do? How should I handle this, Lord? I'm at my wit's end. I feel like snapping, but Lord, I know that's not the right thing to do. What would you have me to do in this situation? Are we like Job? If you turn me to Job chapter 1, a phenomenal type and an example for us, Job chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible would record an incredible account of a man. It says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. A man that was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. I think that warrants that. I think he was doing something right. He's a pretty good example. It says there was born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 5,000 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. What a man. He must have walked around proud and knowing that he was all of it. I don't think so. It says, and his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their sisters, and did eat and drink with them. And Job said, well, I'm happy they're all getting along. He says, and it was so that when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and did what? Sanctified them. And rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be not, I know my children have sinned. I know they've done bad. I know this. I know. No, it might be. I haven't even heard a bad report. This is a good time. They're all getting along. They're having feastings. This is a wonderful thing. The young people are going out. They're having a wonderful time. But it may be that something has gone wrong. It may be. Rose up early, sanctified them and numbered them in Job, that it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Not even that they said it aloud, but that their hearts were not right. Thus did Job continually. Oh my. Sometimes we get the attitude, because I've heard it before, well, my children could never do anything wrong. I'm not that old, but I've preached long enough to hear that. Amen. Not my Johnny. He's perfect. She would never do that. And we get blindsided by backsliding young people. Come on. Parents, don't find yourself thinking so great of your children until they backslide one day and you're like, I never saw it coming. Yeah. I know they weren't in church half the time, but I don't know what happened. Brother Branham called it something one time. I think it was, parent delinquency. He didn't call it young people delinquency. He called it parent delinquency. Don't worry, the service gets better, okay? But maybe now, parents with young children, with teenagers, pray while they serve the Lord. Sanctify them pre-adventure. Satan has entered into their heart. Pre-adventure, Satan has put a thought in there to try and question the word. You can sanctify them to clean that out. Pray while they go to young people's. Do you do that? Do you have youth services? Pray when they're together, when they're out there playing. I don't know, you guys play volleyball? You like volleyball? Yeah. Oh, yeah. You like shopping, sisters? You like getting together, go shopping? No? Wow, this is amazing. Brother Doug, this is incredible. We need to preach this wherever you're preaching around the world. But maybe when they're out shopping, they wouldn't come home with questionable things if mom and dad were on their knees in prayer. Going, Lord, watch over them. Lord, help them make the right decision. Lord, you know the way I raised them, right? Lord, watch over the boys, Lord. I know they drove there, and sometimes boys can get a little unruly in the cars. And they drive a little fast. Lord, watch over them. Keep them, Father, on the roads, Lord. Help them make the right decision, Lord Jesus. Father, I sanctify my children. Well, they would never do any wrong until the cops are calling.
Is this your son?
No. I'm sticking up for you right now. John Wesley would say about Job, he would say, it was a constant course at the end of every feasting time to offer a sacrifice for each. Parents should be particular in their addresses to God for the several branches of their family, praying for each child according to his particular temper, genius, and disposition. That's pretty well put. How we ought to pray. What do we do? Satan has so designed it for us parents. Brother Brown would say, we got washing machines. We don't have to get out there and scrub anymore. You know what mothers did when they were scrubbing, real godly mothers, when they were scrubbing the clothes out by the river at the washboard and they're out there? What were they doing? Praying. Satan saw that. He said, I don't like that time anymore, so I'm going to give them a washing machine where they can just press play and walk away. And they don't have to pray anymore. It'll just happen that way and everything's going to be okay. And they can go back to their iPhone and worry about what Johnny and Susie are doing over in England. What has that got to do with you? Well, God's given you children to raise. God's given you a husband to serve. Brothers, God's given you a house to look over, to apply the blood and the token of God. Oh my, look how Job brought his children in and sanctified them. Let me tell you, redemption story is about God. Redemption story is not about us, it's about Him. Him putting Himself together, bringing His attributes back together, bringing His bride to a place of perfection. That's redemption story. It was about Him. It's about His passion and His love and His desires. Redemption for your children is about the love of God displayed to and reflected through them. That's redemption story. That you could be an extension of the love of God to your child, to your son, to your daughter. Hallelujah. That God could come down through you and begin to reach down to them. Where they're at, Job, as a high priest of his home, put God in the center of his relationship with his children. Wow. You mean he didn't put their likes and dislikes in the center? No. Neither did he put their feelings in the center. It's all about how you feel today, John. It's all about how you think today. How do you feel? No, he put God in the middle. He put God in the center. But have you had devotions yet today? Have you served God? Have you prayed? Let's pray together. Let's pray before you go out in the morning. Let's pray before you go to school. Let's pray before daddy goes to work. Let's pray. Let's gather together. And let's make sure that we're putting God in the middle of the home. See, these are the fruits of your relationship. Parents, these are your seed. They're worth your time. Oh, there ought to be a bigger amen than that.
Amen.
They're worth your time.
Amen.
They're worth your labors. They're worth the sleepless nights in prayer. They're worth it. Satisfaction only comes when they get a revelation of Jesus Christ personally. That's when you begin to look at it and you begin to see, oh God, all those prayers are paying off. Now my son and daughter, little Johnny, little Susie, they're coming back home from service and they're telling me about what the preacher was telling. They're telling me about how God was revealing Himself to them. Oh, this is wonderful now. This is the kind of relationship I've always desired. Isn't that what you desire, fathers? Have that kind of relationship with your sons, with your daughters. Lord, how does that start? It starts on your knees in prayer. Praying for them. Parents, let me say it this way. You've already laid out the rules in the home. If you haven't, you should have. And you felt led to apply it as being conducive to a godly atmosphere in your home. So I'm sticking up for the young people here. So there's no need to come every time they break a rule to remind them of all the rules. That's politics. According to the Second Amendment, you're allowed to do this, and you broke this rule over here. So this is the discipline. They know. I was a young person once too. I know. When I broke the rule, and I got reminded of what the rule was, I felt like saying, yeah, I know. But I broke it, and it is what it is. I'm sorry. So that sounds really rebellious, Brother Andrew. No, but you know what really helped is when my dad was able to work with me. To pray with me. To pray desperately. Amen. Pre-adventure your children have done wrong. I remember some of the hardest things to admit to my dad. My dad being a minister, preaches around the world. To have to sit there on the bedside crying and confessing my faults. He didn't make me do that. I just was so moved and so bothered by my own sin, and I was just crying out, and he come in the room, and I just started telling Dad, I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and I'm not even a Christian, and I just, all these things, and he just sat on the bed beside me, and he said, yeah, you're human. It shocked me. You mean you're not going to take me over your knee and beat me senseless and make sure I never do that again? No. He just put his arm around me and said, you know, you're human. I am too. We can pray together if you like.
Oh, yes.
I never heard about it again. He never once brought it up. It never once came back to me. He just began to pray for me. And it fixed it. God began to work. Psalms 123 verse 1 would say, unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of the servant look unto the hands of their masters, and as the eyes of the maiden unto the hand of their mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that He have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Contempt there is disrespect. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. As David begins to write this, he begins to say, Lord, I'm just looking to you. Forgive me. I know that I've done things that are wrong. And it hurts the people that look at me and they're just at ease and they don't seem to care. And they're disrespectful to your word. But Lord, I'm just looking to you. What's he talking about? I'm praying. Lord, I pray. I wait on the Lord in the good times. He says, if I make my bed in heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. I'm waiting upon the Lord. So we're talking about the armor of God. He says, now remember. Brother Branham says in the message, look, 1963. He says, now remember the whole Christian armor is supernatural. If you are a Christian. In other words, you cannot control it with your flesh. It's a supernatural armor. It requires a supernatural connection.
Amen.
The weapons of our warfare, the Bible would say, are not carnal. In other words, you can have the best preparation of the gospel of peace. That's one of the armors. You can prepare yourself, study to show thyself approved. You can live a righteous life. You can have the truth and know that you're on the right side. You can have all faith to move mountains and know the word. And boy, can I swing the sword. You could even know that you're saved. I believe I'm saved, therefore I'm saved by grace through faith. But without prayer, you'll never be victorious with it. You'll find yourself fighting against your brother and sister. Knowing how to swing the sword with such enthusiasm in the wrong direction. Prayer brings you into the awareness of the supernatural need that is needed to properly handle the Word of God. And it's often the one that gets forgotten. That's why there's so many squabbles and hurts among churches. Prayer gets forgotten. It's not just a little prayer. Praying till you get in the Spirit. Letting God move you. Allowing and praying, Lord, as Brother Branham would say, don't pray to change God's mind. Pray to change your mind. Pray neutral. We know he also says prayer will change God's mind. But we don't pray to do that. We pray to ask, Lord, as Jesus did, not my will, but thy will be done. Let me say it this way. There's no handicaps in prayer. Prayer is an even playing field because your flesh is irrelevant in prayer. There is no handicaps. You say, well, I got this problem. There's no handicaps in prayer. Mark chapter 11, 24 says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. He says he defeated, Brother Branham says he defeated, Jesus defeated Satan on his own grounds with the word of God. And the weakest Christian here tonight can defeat Satan anywhere, any place, any time, under any conditions with thus saith the Lord. So how do I do it? Do I just walk around and start screaming the word? Take it to your knees in prayer. And begin to ask God and remind God of his own word. Remind him of his promises. Lord, you said. And Satan, the gates of hell begin to shake and tremble. Why? Because the weakest Christian begin to remind God of his own promises and say, Lord, you said you move on my behalf. You said that you do this for me. You said that I would be more than an overcomer. You said, Lord, not I said, it's thus saith the Lord. And watch God move on the scene. There's no minimum requirements for prayer. Just take God's word and remind him of it. The supernatural is what you do not see. You see, the Christian armor is supernatural. It's all supernatural. And the supernatural is what you do not see, but what you believe and act on as though it was. That's the supernatural. Hallelujah. The Christian armor is supernatural. It's what you believe and what you act on as though it was. In other words, as though it was real right here that you could tangibly see it. You act on it as though it was there. Hallelujah. Everything in the Christian armor is supernatural. We do not look at what we see. We look at what we do not see. You cannot be healed only through looking at what you do not see. Amen. Abraham wasn't looking at what he saw. He was looking at the unseen by faith. Amen. He was looking at the promise of God saying, no, we're going to have a child. If he would have looked at what he saw, it would have been impossible. But he was looking at the unseen, at the supernatural, saying, this is more than a reality. This is more real than what I look at in the mirror. Amen. Because this is what God said. It's thus saith the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's just exactly the way it is. And Brother Branham would say, he'd say, well, if you just get an image, if you're sick, just put an image of a well you in front of you and walk into it. Amen. That is the correct use of an imagination. Amen. To take the image of a well-being of yourself, put it in front of you and walk into it. Hallelujah. That's what we need to do more as a bride of Christ, is put an image of our glorified self in front of us. What will I be like in my theophany? I don't know, but I'm going to try my best and put it in front of me, and I'm going to walk towards that. Because how did I get the idea? I took God at His word, and He said I'd be more than an overcomer. He said I'd be perfect. He said all of these things. I'm going to take this and I'm going to walk into it. Hallelujah. You cannot operate the supernatural armor of God by sight or by feeling. In other words, it does not matter how you feel. It does not matter what you look at. What matters is what your faith in the unseen God. You have to look to the unseen to contact. Then the contact for the unseen is through prayer. The supernatural armor of God is operated by a prayer of faith. James 5 verse 15 and 16 says, in the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. For the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, hallelujah. It doesn't just avail a little. No, this is the eternal word of God that looks at it and says, it avails much. Let me give you a contrast for that. It says that bodily exercise profiteth little. So that profiteth little, but it says a fervent effectual prayer profiteth much. So in the eternal thoughts of God, He's looking at it saying, what do I value? I value a fervent effectual prayer. I value time spent in communion with me. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Effectual fervent. This is an active work of faith. Prayer of a righteous man puts the word of God into action. Hallelujah. Brother Branham says the exposition, the Patmos vision, he says, now Paul said that the word came in power as well as voice. The word preached actually demonstrated itself. Like a flaming cutting sword, it went to the consciences of man, and like a surgeon's knife began to cut out the disease and set the captive free. I love that he says it went right to the mind, right to the heart. It went right to their mind and began to cut it out. Those mental illnesses, the word of God can cut that right out. Since they went to preach in the gospel, the word, and God confirmed the word with signs following, and the sick were healed, devils were cast out, they spoke with new tongues. That was the word in action. The word has never failed in the mouths of believing Christians. Hallelujah. It says, and in the last age, it is here stronger and greater than ever in the true word bride. Oh, think about it, saints. It's not just for the days of old. That was Bible times. We talk of Abraham. We talk of Job. We talk of Joshua. We talk of all these Gideons and different ones. That was back then. But he says, it's here greater and stronger than in the days of Abraham. It's here greater and stronger than in the days of Jesus. It's here greater and stronger than in the days of Paul. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, Brother Branham says, gets stronger every day. Oh, hallelujah. He never loses His power. How great is our God? Oh, my. And your prayer, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man, puts the word of God into action. That when you take Him at His word and say, Lord, you said if I believe that Thy and Thy house shall be saved, you put that on your lips in prayer by faith, Thy and Thy house shall be saved. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Message expectation. Brother Branham says, what man calls great, God calls foolish. And what man calls foolish, God calls great. So that's so what we've got to do is get back into the program of God and find out, after all, what God wants us to do. My goodness. We don't need more board meetings. We don't need more ministers' conventions. We need to figure out how everything's going to happen. We need to get back into the mind of God. There's nothing against those things, but we need time to get back into the mind of God. He says, and the only way I know to do it is prayer. Prayer is the key. That's the answer. Prayer. Prayer changes things. Prayer is the most powerful weapon that was ever put in the control of human beings. Oh, you say, Brother Andrew, I thought it was the Word of God that defeated the Satan. I thought it was a faith to move mountains. I thought it was love. But all of those things operate by a prayer of faith. Prayer is the most powerful weapon that puts all of those things into action. There's no atomic bomb, no hydrogen bomb as powerful as prayer. Prayer will change the mind of God. Did you know that? It did it one time. We know the story how that Isaiah was told, go tell King Hezekiah. He's not getting off that bed. He's going to die. What did Hezekiah do? He turned himself towards the wall. He said, oh Lord, you know how I've served you as a righteous man. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It was a righteous man that began to pray and said, Lord, you know my heart. You know what I've done. Now, Lord, I'm asking you, give me a few more years to get my house in order. Let me just be honest with you. He was praying for things that he should have already done. He should have already done it, but he was a busy man. I understand. We get that way. But now he began to pray this way, and he caught. Here's Isaiah walking out of the gates. He's barely out of the gates. He could just come through those gates telling the guards, Hezekiah's going to die. He's going to die. Now he comes back walking through the same gates, and he turns back around again. Where are you going now, Isaiah? Hezekiah's going to live. I thought you just said, are you even a true prophet? No, he was such a true prophet. He stuck with the Word of God no matter what it made him look like. Hallelujah. Because prayer changes things. He says when the church, message on certain sound, he says when the church comes under the blood of Jesus Christ with the token of the Holy Ghost Spirit upon them, then you're going to see a brotherhood again. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so happy what we're living in that day, in that time. Say, Brother Andrew, what about all these other things? Well, you just got to keep your eyes on Christ. Stop looking at all the troubles and all the problems and all the things going on. Don't worry about it. He's talking about the true church. Maybe they ain't the true church. I don't know. That's not for me to know. That's for God to know. I need to keep my eyes on God and make sure I'm a part of that true church. Hallelujah. Because when it comes under that, you'll see a real brotherhood again. You're going to see a church full of power. You're going to. I believe we're there. He said, God hates a powerless religion. It's got to be power. Certainly, it's a power to save a man from sin. It's a power that can do signs and wonders and miracles that Jesus Christ promised. What did they do back there in the beginning? The faith of the fathers, he said, they zeroed in on the Word of God back there and they believed it and they hit the target. He says, and you zero the same way on the Word of God, it'll hit the target again. It's got to, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh my, God don't like no powerless religion. God does not want that. God wants to perform. God wants to show himself alive. He just needs somebody to pray, somebody to have faith to say, God, you move on my behalf. I'm trusting in you, regardless of what the doctor says. I'm trusting in you, Lord. Hallelujah. Regardless of what the one next to me says and the one over there says. And I got hurts. I got certain things, but Lord, let me trust in you. God wants to perform. Our very hopes is the resurrection. Is that right? And divine healing is what? It's the earnest of the resurrection. Our very hopes is the resurrection. Our hopes of life is resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Think about this for a moment. The same message, he says, Daniel went into the lion's den without any uncertainty. God is able to deliver me from the lions. The king was all worried. He was full of uncertainty. But Daniel looked at him and said, hey, my God's more than able. If God wants me to be eaten by lions, that's fine. Somebody's got to feed the lions. But my God is more than able. He says, and they threw him in. They threw him in there. He said, and I believe when them lions started up there, they began looking at him. But there stood a halo of fire around Daniel. Any animal scared of fire, you know that. Those lions backed on down. He said, what was it? It was the hidden power that was in Daniel's heart come out and clothed him all over. It was the hidden power, that blessing of God that was on the prophet's life that enshrouded him with a flame of fire. And them little kittens went and sat down. Scared of the fire. The pillar of fire. Like down at Dolphin that day, when Gehazi looked around, all shaken in fire. There's so many of them. Elisha, we're surrounded. We're done for. And Elisha's like, what are you talking about, man? Oh, right. Sorry. Lord, open his eyes. Let him see that there's a greater army with us. You think we're surrounded? He's surrounded by God. There was the hidden power that was around Daniel. A man that prayed 3 times a day. Prayed fervently. He knew that God was able to keep him because he knew that this was not a Sunday morning revival God. This was not a Labor Day weekend meetings God. This was a worst day kind of revival God. This was one when you had no good place and nothing good to say about yourself. He's still there. Not because he just prayed 2 weeks ago, but because every day he opened his window toward Jerusalem. It didn't matter. There were laws specifically designed to stop him from doing that, but he still got out there on his knees and cried out, oh God of heaven, hear my cry. Lord, remember your people once again, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We're right back in Babylon again with laws specifically designed to stop you from confessing, to stop you from praying in public, to stop you from being a real Christian. But let me tell you, good supernatural God is more than able to keep you. He's more than able to watch over you. That's the same God, the same pillar of fire that kept Jonah in the belly of the great fish. The same power that created such a holy atmosphere that it shut the mouths of lions. The same power that kept even the smell of smoke off the clothes of 3 Hebrew children. They went into a fire. You can't even sit within so many feet of a fire and you just reek like smoke. They went right in the middle and they come out and they said, you don't even smell like smoke. Why? Because there was a shroud of the God around them. The same power that caused Samson to carry away the gates of Gaza. Not just push him off the hinges and open up the door, but take him right off the doorposts and take him right up the hill to the top of the hill. Say, come get your gates from up here. The same power. Oh, that created an atmosphere around Jonah in the belly of the fish. He didn't need an oxygen tank. He didn't need the light of the sun. He had the light of the S-O-N. Amen. The same power caused him to come right out and even guided him how to turn towards the temple in the belly's whale. In the whale of the fish. And turn towards the temple and raise his hands. And say, Lord, you told Solomon prayed and you answered. And if anyone would find themselves in trouble, would turn towards our holy temple. Would pray. You'd hear from heaven. How did he know which way to turn? God showed him. This is the same power that told Ananias to go down and pray for a man named Saul. It was so convincing that Ananias was not afraid to go pray for the one that was on his way down there to take him to jail. And at the same time gave Paul a vision that there's a man named Ananias coming to pray for you. It's the same power that told Brother Branham, how many squirrels do you need? It's the same power that's alive today. It's not just Bible times. It come right up into Brother Branham's day. It told him, how many squirrels do you need? It's the same power that's alive in the church today. It didn't end in 1965. Thank God it didn't end in 77. Thank God it didn't end in 91. I was born in 92. But it's still going on today. The power of God is still alive. It's the same power in the church today that he is our God. And that's the power on the inside of a righteous man. No wonder the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If it can do all of those things, if you can go read Hebrews chapter 11 and read about the heroes of faith and all of the different things they did, and you get right down to the last verse and it says, and they, without us, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord, and they without us cannot be made perfect. We are just as much a part of the body as they were. Right in your darkest hours is when Christ that desires to come from the inside out and shroud you in His presence. Sometimes in prayer, we're so busy looking out there. God come, God come. He's right here. He's the God that's inside of you. I don't pray to some God built yonder in some constellation. I pray to the God that's within me just like Jesus did. Just like Brother Branham did. It was no different. It's no different today because the same Holy Ghost is with me, even in me. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Hallelujah. That's the way He does it. Resurrection of Jairus' daughter. He says just about the time it gets to the very darkest hour, that's when Jesus comes along. He says we fret, we worry, we Christians, we baby, we get sick and something, our baby gets sick and something happens and something, and somebody didn't show up. And we just get so nervous and so upset. My goodness. We should just sit quiet. He's the one who commanded it. We're living under His dispensation. Living under His grace. Just sit still. He'll be along after a while. Don't worry. He'll open up a healing service somewhere. I've been sick a long time and it just hasn't happened yet. Don't worry. Well, you'll be guided to somebody who prays for the sick. In other words, you don't even need to wait till a healing service. You just need to get somebody that believes to come and lay hands on you and you shall recover. He'll just put it on your heart so bad till you'll just kneel down in your room and ask Him about it yourself. You may not need to go get somebody else. He'll put it on your heart so bad till you finally get down on your knees in your room and you say, Lord, I'm tired of this. You promised in your word that you're the healer of all my sicknesses and diseases. As far as I'm concerned, it's over. He works all things together for the good. Oh my. The man would talk about the astronaut age.
Yes, he did.
I have to go back to this because last night I said, you know, they go up to space and there ain't nothing up there. And there were some preachers watching online that got offended because there's a lot of good types in that. Well, here we are. If you're still streaming in, we're going to go back into that now. In the last 100 years, we came through the horse and buggy. Came all the way up into automobiles. Or maybe it's the last 150 years now. I don't remember when the automobile was created. Because now it's, what, 2024? Yeah, it was 1924. Man, it's been a long time. I'm not that old. Thank God. Came to the airplane, and now they go up yonder into space, even into commercial aerospace travel. So they got rich men now that they can make their own spacecraft, and they go up, and they get up into the stratosphere, and they get to see it for themselves. And wow, it's so amazing. You'll only fly, though, as high as your revelation. In a day like today, when all the mystery of God has been revealed, when the fullness of the revelation of Jesus Christ is available to the church, there is no limit to how high you can go.
Amen.
Only your faith.
Amen.
There's enough revelation to propel you into the heavenlies far beyond all the distractions of the world. When an astronaut gets into space, here's what really they're going there for. When an astronaut gets into space, he can turn around and look back at the world and they don't see the pollution and the sin. They don't see transgender from up there. It's all just pure. They don't see the immorality of dressed, immorally dressed people and the robbery and the murder. They look back and see the beauty of the earth. When you get high enough into Christ, you don't see the horrors of sin on the lives of the sinners. You see a soul down on the inside. When you get high enough in Christ, you're not looking at the mistakes of your brother and sister. You start seeing Jesus in them. Because all those things get so small to you can't even recognize them anymore because it doesn't mean anything to you anymore. Get higher in Christ, see? You begin to see the beauty of a soul that can be saved. You see the beauty of a confession of Christ in the life. I say, oh God, take us higher. Take us into the heart of God. But to get up that high, you need something to guide you or you'll crash. See, if you get all mixed up in your revelation. If it's just you trying to pushing. Well, the Holy Ghost is my guide. That's what Jesus said. That's good enough for me. Amen. Careful. Amen. You'll leave the Holy Ghost right behind at that. Yeah. Yes, sir. He's the one that's got you up there, but you need communication with Him to get you going in the right direction. Amen. The natural type being the spiritual. He says, see, the spiritual astronaut is controlled by a unit also, a unit of prayer. That controls the spiritual astronaut. It keeps him lined up is prayer. So it's good, I tell you, God had a little unit setting on the earth one time when His first astronaut, Jesus Christ, was here. He says, and you know what? One little touch of faith stopped him. And that answered him back. Prayer changes things. It changes positions by prayer. Oh my, prayer that can control. See, we see that what can be done in the natural, and it's a type of the spiritual happenings. It can be controlled that way. By prayer. That prayer can turn that astronaut in your direction to send you exactly what you need. Man, we're talking about the control tower. See that little inside of the inside? That's where you start, which is your soul. Then come from that, you're a spirit. Then come from that, a living being. He says, now the living being has five senses, right? To contact the earth, five senses. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. And the inside being has five senses. Amen. Memory, reasoning, conscious, affections, imaginations. He says, but the inside of the inside of the control tower, it's either God or Satan. You can mimic any of these things. You can contact like a Christian, or you could even cast out devils like a Christian. But inside of the control tower, the beginning, the origin, if it isn't God, it will never return to God. Think about it. If it's not controlled by the right radar, it'll never go the right direction. It might do some very Christian-like things. You might look and say, boy, that mind would make a good Christian. You might look at it and say, wow, they really can perform signs and wonders and miracles. Judas did too. But what was on the inside was not right. Amen. His revelation went astray. Judas, who cast out devils, did all these things, but his revelation got all mixed up about who Jesus was. He was so concerned about this coming Messiah, and he needs to have a kingdom here. I'm going to set it up. Judas's revelation got mixed up because it was the wrong person in the control tower. He thought he could betray Jesus and force him into setting up the kingdom. Now, did not Caiaphas, the one who condemned him and put him to death, even prophesy? He says, but he couldn't stay with the word. See, it says, be ye transformed from the church and the world into sons and daughters of God. And now how that the wandering sons of God, wandering out in the world, some of them in this denomination, from denomination to denomination, like wandering stars, never stable. I can say it this way, wandering from message church to message church to message church. Wandering from tapes to live ministry to you need this and you need that and all over the place, like wandering stars, never stable. He says, like a leaf in the water in the autumn. We used to see it back in the eastern times. The leaves would blow down and every little wind would just blow it side to side and all over the place. He says, but God wants us to be stable. Yeah. Anchored in Jesus. In the storms of life, I'll brave. Anchored in Jesus, I'll fear no wind or wave. See? Whatever it is. That was from 1965 and 1958. He also says, you see that little part, that little compartment in a man's heart, God made that in there for Himself. That's His control room. He sits there to control you. That's His place. That's where He sends His messages from, the control room. How do I receive His talking last night? How do I dial that dial? How do I get the hearing of that deep calling out to the deep? Get on your knees in prayer. Let all the noise of the world die out and get into the Spirit of revelation. Hallelujah. Remember, the astronaut is controlled by a radar power. The man talks about John Glenn and how he looked down at Cape Canaveral and seen the great big radar. He's seen all these things. He said you could tell where he was by the way the radar was pointing. Oh, hallelujah. You could tell where he was at by the way the radar was pointing. And we got a radar too called prayer. Prayer is the radar power that directs the astronaut. Ask the Father anything in my name and I'll do it. See, just watch the way the prayer's going and you'll see the way he's pointing. Hey man, you can sure tell a lot about the way a Christian's walking by the way they pray. That's something I really love about doing prayer meetings. You can tell the temperature of a church when they come pray and they're all mixed up and confused and everything's all over the place. You're going, oh God, help them. They're going in the wrong direction, Lord. Help them out, Lord Jesus. Amen. As you tell the way they're going, by the way, just watch the way a church is praying. You can see the way the missiles will fly. Yeah, I've seen it too. Lord God, help that other church. They just don't got it. Missiles fly in the wrong direction. He says, you can tell the way the astronauts are traveling by the way the church is praying. Lord, of course, we don't believe these things. Uh-oh. That astronaut's coming down when he starts praying that way. Of course, we don't believe in all these things. We don't believe miracles anymore. Lord, we just believe. And that's all we can do, just believe. That astronaut's coming back down to a horse and buggy Baptist doctrine. You weren't meant for that horse and carriage. You were meant to soar in the heavenlies like the eagles. He says, when all things are possible, we need to pray, Lord, pour your Spirit out upon the church. Give it what we have need of. Pour upon us the Holy Ghost and just take us out of every reason and believe that's what the words write. And we're going to stand right by the word. Watch the screen then begin to raise its head right up. See, the astronaut's going on and on and on, way up in the air. Would you keep your prayer that way? Lord, not my will. Let thy will be done. Lord, you know what I need to be strengthened, to be established. You know what I need to be established in the church. You know what I need to be strong. You know what I need to be a real dad. You know what I need to be a real mom. You know what my children need, Lord. Give me the wisdom. Give me the guidance. You watch an astronaut fly. Amen. You'll watch a takeoff right then. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I could just read a scripture really quick. I think we quoted it last night as well in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 would say, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, that we know not what we should pray as we ought to. The Spirit itself, what is it? Get into the Spirit of revelation. Prayer in the Spirit. Amen. Likewise the Spirit itself, it makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is in control. When that's what's in your control tower, let it control. How do I do it? Be in communication with it. He begins to take over even your prayer life. Wow. Hallelujah. It might start out where it's a struggle and God, I can't hardly get on my knees in prayer trying to make communication and Lord help me, Lord help me, Lord help me. But eventually, He'll begin to take over the prayer life. He'll begin to take over the communication. He'll begin to blow out all those flues and all those channels and He'll begin to move in your life until it comes to such a natural way that you say, Lord, I can't help it. I just love being with you. I just love being in your presence. I love when you come by my way. It just comes so easy. Lord, keep me in this way. He can begin to take over. The power of God within you begins to pray through you, making intercession for the saints according to His own will. Through you. You don't even know about some. Brother Branham would begin to pray one time, and he'd be praying, and all of a sudden he'd begin to hear someone speaking in German. And he used to wonder who in the world is doing that. Finally, he realizes it's him. That he's speaking in tongues, he's speaking in German, and it's for a situation that he didn't have a clue about. Come to find out later, as the sister was coming to church, that she was dying in a car, and she was trying to get to the healing meetings, but she wasn't going to make it. But he began to pray for her, not having any idea about it. What was it? The Spirit was in control, because the Spirit knows the needs of the body, even when you don't know the needs of the body. Oh, hallelujah. And the frailty of our flesh is incapable of calling on God. The spirit of our spirit becomes an internal fellowship. His spirit and our spirit begin to have internal. I believe that's real meditation. When it begins to become worship and supplication right there within yourself. A state of intercession. As 1 Thessalonians 5 would put it, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The next verse says, quench not the Spirit. How do I do that? Don't get up off your knees and say, all right, we're done now. And just quench the moving of the Spirit. I gave you an hour, Lord. The rest of the time today is mine. No, but say, Lord, just continue in me. I need things to go about today, and I got duties to fulfill. But I want you always on my heart. Don't let me quench that. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, 38, he says, then he saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The next verse he says, so just make sure you go get every able-bodied man to go preach. No, he says, pray. But you just said there's work to do. Yeah, pray. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Don't just decide, well, I think I should go. And Brother Branham says that whenever you're on the mission field, you're in the will of the Lord, so I should just go. Pray. Seek the will of God, then you'll be used. Pray the Lord of the harvest. Send laborers. Then you'll be successful. If God called them, then God will back them up. Message, who is Jesus? He says, you see, when you go to praying for somebody, something goes to taking place. Don't always look for outward things. Remember, the whole armor of God is supernatural. When you go to praying for somebody, something takes place. There was a little mother one time with a little baby come into the prayer line of Brother Branham's meetings. And when she walked in, there was an elderly sister there. She was a mother, maybe a grandmother. And she just, God put on her heart, you need to go pray for that sister. Go pray for that baby. And she kind of rejected it. She said, maybe she'll get a prayer card. And then she got a prayer card. No, she's got a prayer card. I don't need to pray for her. She's got it. The Lord kept working on her. No, you go pray. So finally she went over there. She just said, I need to pray. I need to. God's leading me. I can't help it. Do you mind if I pray for your little baby? And she prayed and thought that was it. And that little girl got called up in the prayer line and with the little baby. And I come right out. And Brother Branham says, the baby's already healed. There was a woman right down there that prayed for your baby. It was over back then. But there was a prophet of God there. But there was a believer that had just as much authority to pray the prayer of faith. He says, there's where we fail, friends, is not praying. Amen. Prayer is the keynote. A keynote means it's the central theme or the prevailing tone. Prayer is the central theme of the Christian life. Prayer is the prevailing tone of your life. Whether your tone is strong or soft, loud or quiet, and on any matter, it is determined through prayer. Wow. Amen. One thing we cannot do too much is what? Pray.
Amen.
I will therefore that men everywhere
the Bible says. We lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Watch what comes next after that verse. In like manner also, women, adorn yourselves in modest apparel. Huh? What's that got to do with praying? This is the kind of life a prayerful life produces. If you're in contact with the Spirit that's within you, it'll produce this kind of life, sister. Modest apparel, shamefacedness, sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which become with women professing godliness with good works. Let a woman learn in silence and subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach or to usurp authority over a man, but be in silence, for Adam was first born and then Eve. Oh, that sounds harsh. Oh, it's the easiest thing in the world to accomplish through prayer. See, it's dealing with the tone of your life. It's the keynote. Let the tone of a woman be just so, that this tone for both men and women can be only be set in one way. It isn't a put on. It's through a prayerful life. Brother Branham says in the Message, Is it that so many Christians find it so hard to live a Christian life? What a nice title. He says, and we're thankful that you're out here this afternoon, and we feel that somehow we just can't get enough of God. Hallelujah. There's something about the gospel and the word of God that we just simply can't seem to get enough of it. I believe you might eat too much sometimes. You might drink too much cold water sometimes. But I don't believe that a man could ever pray too much or get too much of the love of God in his heart. That's one thing we just can never, ever get enough to fill up. He said, I think what we need is some spiritual stretching to get some, to get much of the Word. What we really need is some spiritual stretching. Watch you therefore and pray always. Luke 21:36 says, watch you therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Matthew 6:5-8 says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites do, when they love to stand in the synagogues and they come and they pray all that way. He says, oh my, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when you pray, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret will reward thee openly. And when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth which things you have need of before you even ask Him. Oh, hallelujah. Ask and you shall receive. Matthew 17:20-21, Jesus said, because of your unbelief, they brought a little boy. Amen. They brought a little boy to him that Jesus had sent them out 2 by 2, go preach and go heal the sick, raise the dead, do all these things. They come back with a boy. They said, the Father said your disciples couldn't heal him. Why was it? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as the grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence and go to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Now you can go read the rest of the scripture at home and you'll find out Jesus did not call a fast or a prayer meeting. He didn't get everyone around in a circle and say, all right, now we all got to make sure we get our lives right. We got to pray. No. Then he cast the devil out. But he just said it doesn't come up but by prayer and fasting, and now he just cast the devil out. Why? He had already done that. Which is greater? The greater work. It's not speaking to this mountain to be removed. That's faith. But to command the enemy You must know God. And that is only by prayer and fasting. That brings the faith by revelation. Neither is greater. They work hand in hand. Faith and prayer work hand in hand. John 14:12-14 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall you do also. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Amen. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. How do you ask him? You pray. Amen. Not just in your prayer closet, not just somewhere else. But when you speak the word of God, you speak it in prayer. Amen. Prayer is just talking to God. It's denominations, it's Catholicism that has mixed it up into something else. Prayer is just having a conversation with the Holy Spirit that lies in you. Questions and Answers, 1961. Brother Bram gets asked the question, does he, the Holy Spirit, at all times have control over the Spirit as to when and how to act? Good question. He says, yes, sir. Yes, sir, the Holy Spirit controls. It has control of you, and you have control of it. It'll never make you do anything contrary to the Scripture. It has control of you, but you can turn around and say, I'm not following it. It's a gentleman. You have control of it. God's always made it on free moral agency. It's a two-way street. If you'll let him, he'll do as we were preaching before. He'll take over those communication channels. And you can be a tool in his hand, a vessel of honor. He says in Rejected King, he says, it's a whole lot like today. We like to choose such people to control our churches and to control the church of God. He says, nothing I have to say against that, but just merely to make a point. It will never be the will of God for such a thing to be. For what? For such people to rule over the church. That's never been the will of God. God is to rule his people. To govern each individual. That's how God. How can we possibly then be in unity? Because it's the same Spirit that's in you, that's in you, that's in you, that's in you. So how could it be out of unity? Amen. Are you with me still?
Amen.
We're almost there. He says, I'm taught that when we eat, we're used to eating small portions. Our stomach shrinks to that portion. We talked about doing spiritual stretches. How do we do it? Pray. He says, if we eat much, our stomach stretches to that. He says, and I think we need some spiritual stretching. And get much of the word and can't be satisfied with just reading a little verse once in a while or something on that matter, but stretching our spiritual gastronomics. That's what the church still needs today, to realize it's not just listening to the tape on Sunday morning. It's spiritually stretching our gastronomics and pushing out and saying, Lord, I need more. Lord, I need more. I'm going to eat the word of God till I feel sick. Hallelujah. Just keep eating, keep eating, keep eating. Yeah, you say, well, Brother Andrew, it'll make me throw up. Good. Maybe it'll help somebody else if you spit it back out of your mouth. Amen. What happens when you just eat a verse once in a while? You never want to tell anybody. You never want to come back out of your mouth. Why? Because it's just enough to just barely keep you going. But rather, if you eat enough till you got enough to give somebody else, just start letting it out. Start letting it out. Why? Because you've done some spiritual stretching. I need another message. I need another message. I need to come on Sunday, Sunday night, Wednesday, prayer meetings, young people. I want to be in the presence of God. I want to put on another tape. I want to spend more time in prayer. How does he do that so much? I can't help it. I need to eat. Oh, brother, God gave the Holy Spirit God's love to control the church. Amen. Not smart educated, but love. Amen. Gifts goes in the church, but it don't control the church. Oh, I hope we can catch that. God puts gifts in the church, but those gifts are not to control the church. Love controls the church. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, and his love constrained him to do it. It's when love is constrained, then sovereign grace projects love's object. So let me say it again. When divine love is projected, grace produces its object. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. When you really love your brother and sister enough, it brings the grace of God on the scene in their lives. Hallelujah. Don't try and legalistically fix their lives. Well, what they really need is this quote. What they really need is this scripture. What they really need is this service. What they really need is to hear from this brother. And let me tell you, it'll set them straight. No, what they need is the love of God projected through you, because that'll bring the grace of God on the scene in their lives and change them. Hallelujah. Let the love of God constrain you. When you love God so much, that sovereign grace will project you the baptism of the Holy Ghost and make you live and love and be a real Christian. It'll even do it for yourself. When you can love God so much, it'll bring the grace of God into your life by the Holy Ghost coming into you. How do I do it? Some spiritual gastronomics. Feed on the Word. Love the Word. Faith. What is faith? Faith is a revelation. Amen. Brother Branham says that faith is something that's revealed to you. Amen. You ought to get in the spirit of revelation though. Amen. See, but you need to believe it will be. Faith is a revelation of the will of God. Glory. That's all it is. How can that sister over there be totally healed from cancer? She got a revelation. That the will of God was healing in her life. And she just put that in front of her and started walking into it. It's that simple. Luke chapter 18 verse 1, he says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men might always pray and not faint. You know what parable he told them? The parable of the unjust judge. For what purpose? That men would pray without fainting. If you go down to verse 7 and 8, he says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? Though he bear long with them, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find what? Faith. Will he find revelation? Will he find someone that was willing to pray long enough? Hard enough? Desperate enough, agonize with God to get revelation. The Lord prayed for you. So we're closing. Maybe the organ player could come, if you come and just maybe play that song, Only Believe. Luke chapter 22, 31 and 32. Jesus begins to talk to Simon, Peter. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for thee. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man. I've prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. I'm compelled to tell you tonight, as I prayed about these services, Satan's desired to sift you. But Christ in me, Christ in your parents, Christ in your pastor, Christ and your brothers and sisters have prayed for you. Let's stand to our feet a moment. We need to take this a little further to understand the power of prayer. Because Jesus is here. I'm asking you right now, just be real reverent. I'm not anybody special, but He's here. Mark chapter 16, He writes to us and He says, "Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned." This is a familiar scripture to us all. "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover." That's to them that believe. And I ask you tonight, how many believers do we have in here? Why don't you raise your hand? Why don't you take those hands you've raised and put it on the person next to you then? Just slip over. If you're not near someone, go where somebody is. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you know the battles you faced. You know your weaknesses. But I believe the Lord wants you right now to just lay them at His feet. I wonder if you'd just be real honest. You've confessed you're a believer. Just be real honest and lay them at His feet. If you feel the need tonight and you feel this is just for you, if you feel the need that you need to confess a fault and you need to expose the devil, I'll give you an opportunity. You can come right here to the left. On the aisle on the left, if you need to slip out, James chapter 5 says, "Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that they may be healed. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much." If you need that, that's fine. Don't be ashamed. The presence of the Almighty God is here to do greater works. We've heard the word. We've had the word preached. We've seen faith. We've prepared, shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel. But right now, pray for one another. I wonder if you'd do that with me tonight and just be real humble and reverent to the still small voice. You know your troubles. Just lay them at God's feet and just say, "Lord, I'm not going to pray for that. I'm going to pray for the one I got my hands on right now." You said the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This one next to me is a believer, and I believe. Prayer is the most powerful weapon in the hands of the church. We don't need to walk out of here a defeated people. We don't need to leave here hoping and thinking. He's here. You just need a believer. You don't even need a prophet, a preacher, a pastor to lay hands on you. You just need a believer. Pray for one another. I'm going to read to you this while you pray. Because Jesus would pray for us. In John chapter 17, He'd say, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know that thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth, and I have finished the work which thou hast gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto all men which thou gavest me. Out of the world thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. And they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. And I have given unto them the words which thou hast given me, and they have received them." They believed. "And have known surely that I come out of thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." It wasn't just 12 disciples, that's you.
And all mine are thine, and all and thine are mine, for I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, for these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep thou thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, that these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them, in themselves. I have given them my word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which also believe on me through their word, that they shall be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory that thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, and I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold the glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. O Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, these are not just words, Lord. The Father, they are eternal thoughts of God that are portrayed, Lord, and manifested down into sons and daughters of God here tonight. Lord, that as we lay hands one upon another, Lord, you know each and every one that's here, Lord. You know the things that we've laid at your feet. You know the hardships. You know the trials, oh God. You know the continual battles and the cycles of life that we've gone through, Lord. You know the hurts and the pains, oh God. There is nothing, there is no thought that escapes you, Lord. But Father, I believe, Lord, that there is a bride here in Tucson, Lord Jesus, that you look at when Satan comes up before you and say, have you considered my little bride? She is perfect in all of her ways. Oh, and Satan has his things, but oh God, you have prayed for us, Lord. And Father, now the Christ that's in each one of us, Lord, we lay our hands over on one another, oh God, praying, Lord Jesus, that you would set us free from all sin and every reach of the devil, Lord. That Father, he would have no more power over us, Lord. That there would be a freedom of the liberty of the sons of God. Lord, that we believe your word, we believe it to be true, and we pray that you would manifest yourselves in sons and daughters of God. Oh, Father, there's no one like you, Jesus. Oh, God, how we love you, Lord. We love your appearing, oh God. We love your word, Lord Jesus. We love your tender, Lord, your secrets that you whispered us, Father. Lord, we love the mysteries. Lord, we love the revelation, oh God. Lord Jesus, we just love it when you come by our way, Lord. Thank you for the healing touches in our lives, oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for setting our minds free. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for setting our bodies free to worship you, Lord, to quicken us in the power of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we thank you that you have lifted us up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Father God, that we would know you in the power of your resurrection, Lord. That when you pull that scarlet thread, oh Lord, that we would be attached to it, Lord, by the power of the Holy Ghost. Father, have thine own way, Lord Jesus. Hear the cries of your people. Hear the prayers, oh God. Hear the hearts, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, may we pray one for another, not just tonight, but as we go from this place, Lord. Father, increase our prayer life, Lord. Blow out all the flus, Lord Jesus. Jesus, are possible, only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Let's just sing it to him. Now I believe. Now I believe.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Now.